This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcast, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a great show for you today. We have a returning guest here, not quite an old dog yet, but hey, he's definitely part of the club. And I'm talking about Scott Smith. Scott Royal Smith is a longtime real estate investor and attorney who created Royal Legal Solutions to be a one-stop shop for asset protection, tax, and estate planning needs, specifically for real estate investors of every type in all 50 states. He currently has a team of 30 employees helping clients become bulletproof to litigation while helping them save money on their taxes and build generational wealth for their families. Well, Scott, welcome back to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Hey, man, it is great to be here, Bill. I'm a huge fan of you and your show, and I'm stoked to be here today and just kind of drop all the hot legal and business and real estate knowledge.
Well, I love it, man. And you got the knowledge to share, and I appreciate that. We've had you in the past where you've talked about, you know, asset protection in general, which is, you know, it's pretty big scope there. There's a lot of things that you can do and a lot of different approaches. And today we've asked you to be on specifically to talk about land trusts. We've had just a stirring, a lot of interest. People are asking for information about land trusts. And I know this is a prime area for you and an area where you do a lot of activity. I wanted to open it up here and pretty informal. Maybe you could just kind of start with maybe a definition of, well, actually, before we do that, you know, our listeners like to always catch up on our guests too, and just to find out what they've been up to. Maybe you could just kind of give us a little update since last time we spoke, you know, what you've been doing.
Yeah, well, I've been really active working on building Royal Legal Solutions. We've been growing very, very strongly with very methodical, strategic growth and helping more and more real estate investors all over the country. So it's been a lot of fun doing that, as well as getting more involved with asset acquisition currently. Actually buying up a lot of single family homes. I didn't think I'd be going back into single family. But here I am finding opportunities to do that and good channel partners. And what I've learned through that process is that it's not in the market, it's in the marketing, and you want to be aligned with people that know how to get the deal flow in the door to you. It's super, super important to have that. But, you know, we've been seeing a lot of the same thing too, Bill, is about the huge interest inside of land trusts, and And I really think it makes a lot of sense. You know, I had a friend of mine who lost over $3 million from a single lawsuit. If he would have asset, protection in place, you know, he probably wouldn't have lost a dime. And if he would have had those assets held anonymously using land trust, they might not have ever even sued him in the first place, because they wouldn't have been able to find out, you know, what assets that he had that were worth suing. And I probably could have stopped that lawsuit before it started. So my life is just kind of how it always is, you know, building the company and helping more and more real estate investors every single day. And making sure that the wealth that we all work so hard to create, now we keep it.
Well, that's great. You know, one thing you mentioned about single family homes, you're not the only one. I've been talking to a number of investors that really feel that that's the place right now to focus activity. That's where the great deals are going to come from right now. Multifamily is in a totally, you know, different position, I think. And I think that the single family realm, that's where you're going to see a lot of the activity. I think, you know, because of the laws that right now with the forbearance, and we've got the moratoriums on evictions and a lot of other issues there. And then you've got, you know, moratorium on foreclosures. I think we really don't see the full picture of what's happening in the real estate market. And I think once it hits, I think we're going to start to see, you know, the real picture, which is going to be a little different than how things have been.
But I think it's, you know, it's hard to have a crystal ball on a lot of these things, right? But you know, we know that there's, you know, a couple of major things that are happening, right? Which is there's going to be a market shakeup, right? You're going to be able to probably sniff that out before too long about where our market's really going to shift around. And that might depend a little bit upon the stimulus money as well as how effective that stimulus is. I hope it's effective. But last time when we gave everybody checks, what they did is they just paid down debt with it. So it'll be interesting to see whether these plans they have will either come out or if they'll be effective. But I'm seeing a lot of activity in the single family home area. And, you know, for me personally, that's where I'm looking to pick up assets. I'm always looking for great deals, just like anybody else, right, into it. And I come with like a team of backing financially as well. And the thing is about single family homes is like that's the perfect place to be using land trust. If you're owning single family homes and you're not using land trust, you know, you're really just missing out on a great opportunity to be able to help protect yourself in a way that's some of the actually most affordable, highest value, highest impact kind of protection you can get.
Right. Well, why don't you define for those that don't know what a land trust is, just give them sort of a good general definition.
Yeah, so you have three different types of trusts. You got your revocable trust, like ones that you can just decide, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and dissolve this trust, and all the assets flow back to you. They don't give you any type of asset protection, but they can be used to create anonymity. And a land trust is a type of a revocable trust. Now, you'll also have irrevocable trusts. Those provide some protection. They can be anonymous, but they have tax implications with them, which can be punitive. However, structured correctly, it can be a decent strategy, especially if you're located inside of California. And then you have your statutorily created trusts, which are like your Delaware statutory trusts. And those are created by a state statute that they passed a law to be able to create that type of trust. So those are your three top level ideas of what types of trusts exist out there. Every type of trust you hear about fits into one of those three categories, no matter what they are. The types of trusts that are usually most effective for real estate investors, again, is the revocable trust when it's going to be the land trust. It's an irrevocable trust if you have a one-off asset and you live in a state that has really bad LLC laws, like California. Or the Delaware statutory trust, if you're an investor who wants to use a trust structure, perhaps because you live in California likely, and you're looking for something that's a really scalable model that provides anonymity, you know, and protection.
Now, do you, you combine, let's say you own multiple properties, multiple states. Do you combine, you know, the various tools out there, land trusts, LLCs, irrevocable trust, you know, in a manner that would help protect somebody, you know, to the max? Or I know you can't protect somebody 100%, but some things are definitely more effective than others.
Yeah, well, you can protect people 100%. And in a lot of circumstances, you actually can. The question really becomes, is it the cost-effective and necessary thing to do, right? So this is like one of the key questions that people ask me, well, Scott, what does it take to get protected? And I say, well, it actually is like going to a doctor and asking, like, what is the prescription you need before we get in there and dive in and figure out what's going on, right? And figure out what's going to make sense. So you can actually get 100% protection by using combinations of equity stripping strategies, by placing loans onto your own property, setting offshore trusts up that are the owners of those notes, and how you can channel money through different bank accounts to be able to make those bona fide real notes. But that starts having some pretty serious cost implications to it that really aren't appropriate for the average investor. The person that we really specialize in is that person that has like that 1 to 20 single family homes, maybe a few other assets in the apartment complexes or commercial buildings as well. And is that average investor, you know, that average portfolio going on to. But your most cost-effective thing that you can do is actually mixing and matching your land trust strategy, which is how you're able to avoid the due-on-sale clauses of your mortgage that might otherwise be preventing you from moving the asset and, say, directly into an LLC, as well as that land trust will also help create anonymity in the ownership. So it looks like if anybody tries to sue you, it looks like on paper you qualify for food stamps. And then you can combine that with an LLC or Delaware statutory trust to combine the asset protection. So that way, if there is a lawsuit, they would get little to nothing. So you can stop the lawsuits before they start with the land trust, because that's the benefit of the anonymity. Doesn't look like you are a good candidate to go after. And then if the lawsuit were to happen, that's when your LLC or your Delaware statutory trust would step in to prevent them from being able to collect on that lawsuit or get very, very little from it.
Got it. So let me give you an example. Let's say I'm an out-of-state investor, and let's say I've got three single-family homes in Atlanta, but I live in Southern California. Now, I just picked up regular mortgages on these properties in my name, and then I found out about land trusts. And what would you advise that person to do to give them maximum kind of coverage, within reasonable means?
Yeah. So I'll tell you about, like, here's what everybody's doing right now. Here's the cost effective strategies, right? Not like the fringes of theoretical pieces with offshore trusts and all that, right? But what are real estate investors really doing, especially real estate investors who have assets in the single family home space? Is what they're doing is they're setting up an LLC, one or more LLCs, or alternatively using a series LLC. They're forming those LLCs in either Delaware, Texas, Nevada, or Wyoming, where there's strong asset protection laws called charging order protection, which means that if somebody sues you, they can't get to your ownership interest of the LLC. If you have LLCs established in any other state, their protections aren't as strong as those four states. So you first would have that LLC. Ideally, that LLC is an anonymous LLC, which you can create in various ways using a law firm. It's possible to create very high levels of anonymity even with the ownership of the LLC. And then what you do is that you would create a land trust underneath that LLC and have that land trust own one individual piece of property. So if you had, say five pieces of property, one way you might want to do this is, well, I'm going to put one piece of property in one land trust. So if it's the 123 Main Street property, address of the property is 123 Main Street. You move it into a land trust you create that's called the 123 Main Street Trust. Now that 123 Main Street Trust is in turn owned by that LLC. And what you've done there is your mortgage now doesn't get called due because the due on sale clause is not triggered by a transfer to a land trust. So you can have the existing great conforming loan financing put in place when you acquire that property, or it might already be in place if it's a property you currently own. You then simply create that land trust and then deed that property from your name into that land trust. And if anybody ever looks into that land trust, everything regarding that land trust relates back to an attorney and a law firm. So there's no information that they can get to. And all that information is then further protected by the attorney-client privilege.
Now, let me ask a question here. Okay, so you have a property, it's in your name, but then you deed it to the land trust. Now, do you have to involve your lender? You have a mortgage on this. Do you have to involve your lender in that process? Because the name on the deed technically changes, right?
Yeah, so you don't have to inform your lender at all with it, right? So over the last 5 years, we've never had a note called due. And we've never had to negotiate with lenders on any part of this. And it's because there's an actual law called the St. Germain Act, which allows us to be able to do this and allows us to force banks and force financing institutions to allow us to do it if it's ever necessary to do that. Most of the time, it never escalates with the financing institutions to tell them, like, hey, this is how it works. So you're actually able to maintain all of your good relationships with your retail lender, right? Because they can still process all of your loans just like they normally would, goes through all the underwriting, and then you can transfer it into the land trust after the fact. You won't have any issue with doing that at all, and you actually don't need to inform them that you're doing it. The major reason why you won't have any problem with your lender is that the note that they gave, that mortgage, is still attached to the property, right? So their money and their asset that is collateralizing that loan is still fully enforceable. Right. So for them, their business position hasn't changed at all.
Okay. But isn't your name, let's say your name is on that mortgage or on that original deed, doesn't that put you at risk to a certain degree? Because that's how they have the loan under your name, for example.
So it doesn't put you at risk at all from like the banks, from the bank calling the note due or doing anything to you. There's no risk there. The questions we get normally is, well, if my name is on the chain of title that I was a previous owner, doesn't that blow my anonymity? Or this mortgage is still on the property. If somebody pulled that mortgage, it would still show that my indebtedness is there. So what we've done is we structure the transfer of the property from your name into the land trust to look like a sale to a trust for investment purposes. And so what it would look like happened is that you acquired the property or you had the property, you left your indebtedness in place and then sold the property to a trust to other investors, right? So if anybody looked into it, they say, hey, this all makes sense. It looks like they had a credit sponsor, right? This person, Bill, is the credit sponsor. He's the one that closed on the asset, used his credit to be able to get the mortgage, and then resold the property into a trust for the ultimate investors to have. Now, the other piece of this is that the type of anonymity that you need to create to be effective to beat lawsuits is not perfect anonymity. It's only enough anonymity to be able to create doubt to be able for when somebody looks to sue you, right? So you have to think about the business of lawsuits. When they're thinking about who to go after, they're looking at for guaranteed pots of money because these attorneys are getting paid oftentimes based upon what they can win, right? How much they're actually able to collect from whoever they're going after. So all we have to do is actually just make it look like a bad business decision or a risky business decision for them to come after you. And furthermore, if they guess that you still own the property, Bill, what they find out is that you don't actually own the property anymore. Actually, the land trust owns the property, and the land trust is actually owned by an LLC. So for legal purposes, it's just as if somebody else owns the property. So the anonymity is structured in a way to be very strong because from the paperwork, we're attacking the business of the lawsuits because it looks like we create lots of risk for them to sue us in the first place. Because they can't clearly identify who the actual true owner of that property really is currently. And thirdly, if somehow they guess that you did still own the property and want to proceed with it, they're actually wrong. So they'll actually blow a bunch of money going down the wrong path first, which is exactly what we want for litigation. We want them to start wasting money because the more money that they spend, the more painful it is for them to come after you.
Gotcha. Gotcha. People structure their... Yeah, their asset protection, I know in a number of different ways, but do you ever have it, for example, the example I used with the three single family homes in Atlanta, and let's say you have a Georgia LLC, but that Georgia LLC, the managing member is a Wyoming LLC, so they could have the anonymity. Do you ever structure in that way, or would you just bypass the Georgia LLC altogether and just go with one of those main states that have anonymity?
My experience has been is that there's an older model of how asset protection and attorneys used to operate, which was, well, we need an LLC or multiple one LLC per property in every single state that you own a property, and then we want all of those LLCs to be owned by Wyoming LLCs, so then we have anonymity in place, right? And that would be like a typical type of strategy. The problem is that strategy becomes really expensive for to do, right?
Right.
With your setup costs, your maintenance costs for those LLCs, how your operational expenses around managing that many bank accounts instead of accounting records, the tax returns that come off of that, et cetera, right? So it kind of leads us back to like we talked about before, right? Is that there's a lot of ways to go after what protection looks like, right? And you can go all the way to doing offshore work and equity stripping, but what's the cost-efficient way of being able to structure this? And what I've seen is the most cost-effective way of doing it is actually using one series LLC established in either Texas, Delaware, Nevada, or Wyoming, and then having that series LLC combined with the use of land trusts to be able to create the best protection. Because you can have one parent series LLC that creates individual child series. Each one of those child series works just like an LLC for liability purposes. And then the land trust actually holds title to the Georgia property, even though, let's say, for example, it's a Texas series LLC. So you have a land trust there in Georgia that you can create. It doesn't cost, it costs you a one-time cost to be able to create that land trust. There's no ongoing cost associated with those land trusts. And then that land trust is in turn owned by a Texas series LLC, and that compartmentalizes the asset and holds it inside of that LLC structure. So if there's ever a lawsuit against that one asset, they can't go after any of the other assets, and they can't come after you personally. And that's really where we find is the most cost-effective, best protection, cost-effective way for single-family home investors to own property anywhere in the country. With having the most streamlined taxes, operational expenses, and ongoing expenses that we can find. And that's the best strategy we know.
And you do recommend one land trust per property, right?
Yeah, because you want the land trust to be named as the name of the property. So that way they have as little information as possible regarding the scope of the assets, right?
Gotcha.
So when you name the land trust into the name of the address of the property, then they can't find out like who is the real owner, like this LLC or a series LLC of this land trust. They think that it's an isolated entity because that entity only, when they search the public records, the only thing that trust owns is that one individual piece of property. And there's nothing then to connect that to any of the other pieces of property. So essentially for litigation purposes, what you did is you shrink the pot of gold to make it say like, hey, even if we're successful in this, we're only getting this little tiny pot of gold, right? So it's not enough money there for us to really go after this guy.
Got it. And the owner of that land trust would be the Series LLC, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. And what really is cool about this is that the Series LLC itself doesn't actually have to be registered in any of the other states where you own property. So if you're paying right now for multiple LLCs and you're having to pay for franchise taxes and all these different states and maybe foreign entity registrations, you can actually avoid all of that by shifting to a series LLC strategy combined with land trusts, because the land trust can own title to the asset inside of the name of the land trust, but the land trust doesn't have any entity registration requirements as a revocable common law trust like we talked about. So that means you save a bundle on what are your operating expenses going to look like, because you don't have to do all of this compliance work associated with the LLCs.
Got it. So you mentioned the bank accounts as well. So are you only working with one main bank account, and that would be yours in the name of the Series LLC?
Yeah, you can do everything with one bank account, one EIN number, one set of accounting books as long as you accurately tag the income and expenses for each property, right? Which you should be doing anyway, because that's how you track your true ROI for those properties, right?
Exactly.
So you'll be doing that on a property by property basis. So your accounting should stay exactly the same if you've been doing your accounting right. But otherwise, you can streamline everything through a single bank account with your Series LLC. And then the land trust all the way up through your Series LLC is all treated as disregarded links in the chain, right, for tax purposes. So there's no additional tax filings that have to happen. All the money just flows up to the very top of the entity. And whatever way that entity is being taxed, whether it's as a partnership or as a, you know, a solo individual and disregarded, that will all stay the same for you exactly the way it is now. So there's no additional changes that you actually have to make or expenses that you have to entail or work that has to be done. You just have to do the switch and reap the benefits of it.
Got it. And I know it's kind of a ballpark here, but what's generally the cost to set up a land trust?
So you're typically looking at probably a few $100s for the land trust, you know, depending upon the complexity of the trust. And then you're also looking at a few $100s for the deed to be able to transfer the property into the land trust in most circumstances. I'd say ballpark, you're typically looking at somewhere around, you know, $500 per property.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing. And are there sort of like annual reports or things? I mean, with LLCs, you've got sometimes annual reports, you've got, you know, meeting minutes and things like that. Are there any kind of annual fees associated with land trusts?
No, zero. There's no annual fees for trust. It's a one-time cost to create it to be able and move the property into it. But after the property's in the trust, there's no annual reporting that you have to do at all. And there's no annual costs at all.
Yeah, that's great. That is amazing. That is, wow. Anything else that you think could be pertinent to mention about land trusts? I mean, are there any kind of negatives or things that people should be aware of?
Yeah, the only things that I could think that come off as like negatives per se that people ask me about is that they wonder about like, hey, how am I going to get financing now that my properties are held inside of these anonymous trusts? And the answer to that is that you all you have to simply do is just go to the bank and show them, you know, here's my bank statements for the revenue, you know, and that's really it. They're really only worried about, you know, that you can show that the revenue is there inside of your accounting records. And in some very rare circumstances, the bank will ask to see the trust documentation so that way you can prove ownership. But that's actually very rare that we ever have to do that to be able to prove true ownership of the property for any type of financing issues. So all the financing pieces are actually very, very simple to solve. There's really not anything there. It's just what documentation you have to show the bank. And from an attorney's point of it too, I'm actually fine for my clients to show that to banking and insurance institutions, because all of those are private disclosures. They're not public disclosures. And the types of things that I want to make sure that we stay anonymous from is not absolute anonymity, right? Not from like IRS and from banking. It's the type of anonymity that prevents lawsuits. So it's those things that are really public. So some people have some concerns about like, hey, you know, how is land trust going to impact my life? And the reality is that when you set up these land trusts and you set it up with an organization or an experienced attorney helping you do it, it makes it, it's just as easy as breathing. You know, it doesn't cost you, you know, anything more ongoing. It's really simple to use. You can buy and sell the assets directly out of the land trust. It doesn't prevent you from doing any of the financing. It's really a strategy that's a very, very affordable. It gives you high levels of protection. You can scale it into any type of entity structure afterwards while leaving the land trust in place. So it's very flexible with how you might grow in the future. And it's really something that I personally believe is one of the best first steps you can take in asset protection, is making sure you get those land trusts put in place.
How would that affect refinancing a property?
So typically you're always going to try to refinance properties inside of your personal name, especially for your first 10 properties. So you don't want to do that inside of the land trust. So if you had it inside the land trust, you need to refinance. What we recommend is you just do the financing refinancing outside of the land trust, and then simply move it back in right after the fact. And that will stay, you know, pretty consistent to ensure that you get the best best rates as well as the easiest underwriting. However, it is possible to get financing inside of LLCs and trusts, but you end up having to pay higher commercial rates, right? So, again, it's like one of those things. Like every deviation that you have off of our recommended strategy can potentially get you more protection, but you actually end up paying more for it, right? In one way or another, it costs you more, right? So that's where we are always trying to layer in, okay, what's the most cost-efficient, cost-effective way to execute, to have the maximum protection and still be able to operate your business and be able to scale.
That's great. And how long does it take to set up a land trust for someone?
Land trust can be really simple, right? I mean, it could be like a next day turnaround if it's just trust, right? Mm-hmm. If you're looking at, you know, okay, we also want to deed the property and handle all of that work. And, you know, depending upon that, that can take more time, right? Because deeds themselves require research. You have to, you know, look at the title. You have to prepare a new deed. You have to have that deed notarized, send it to the county clerk. You know, so there's some more steps when you look at how long it takes to deed a property into a land trust, but land trusts can be ready within 24 hours from the time that we get a submission for it. So we regularly have clients that are, you know, flippers or otherwise dealing with high volume. So we're actually set up to be able to help people in a really, really quick turnaround time.
That's great. And just to reiterate too, a lot of folks to try to do any kind of creative financing or what have you, or it's that ominous due on sale clause that has, you know, people concerned. And you're saying that in your experience, you have not had a deal with that. You could transfer properties to other owners. But now would the loan still have to stay in the original seller's name to avoid any problems with the lender?
So you using a land trust, you won't have any problem with the due on sale clause. They won't call the note due with the transfer to a trust per the St. Germain Act, right?
Okay.
So who are the beneficiaries of that trust, you know, is a separate question, right? So the bank will see that it's transferred to a trust. They'll say, great, it's a single family home, you know, 1-4 unit property transferred into a trust. We don't look into those, right? Now, if the beneficiaries of that trust, you know, were other investors, right, the bank would never know that, right? They won't really care about it either, because what they're really worried about is, are you making your payments on time? If you make your payments on time, banks almost never care about anything. But even if as long as you're making your payments on time, you know, you don't have anything to sweat regardless. But that being said, the St. Germain Act is what protects you from any type of pushback from the bank or any type of financing concern from the bank. So there's a lot you can do with land trusts, with how you even structure investments or sell to investors while leaving the existing indebtedness in place, right? If you want somebody else to take over your mortgage, right, then that's an assignment of mortgage. It's a whole nother underwriting process with that financing institution. It's basically like them getting a new mortgage with that financing institution at that point. So what we're really, most of the time, what we're trying to do is actually leave the existing indebtedness in place when you make the sale. And so that could be pretty typical, right, for like a wrap transaction or something that's going to be more sophisticated in terms of the financing.
Got it. Wow, this has been great. There's some great information here, and I'm sure a lot of folks listening would want to find out more. What's the best way for folks to reach you or find out about land trust?
Yeah, best thing to do is actually just go to royallegalsolutions.com and then click the Get a Price tab at the top of the page, and then fill out that quiz that's on that page. So when you go to royallegalsolutions.com and you click Get a Price, at the top, it's going to take you to another page that has a quiz on it that gives all the basic information that we need from you to make sure that we're a good fit. Also lets us be able to come to that first call with you with actual information, right? About, you know, here, you know, knowing who you are and what are some of the challenges you're facing, how you're growing, et cetera, and how we might be able to help. Also that page has all of our best content. So has all of our client testimonials on it. It also has a ton of instructional videos of how does the more complex systems work that we talked about here today a little bit, with like how land trusts relate to series LLCs, other entity options, tax saving strategies, et cetera. It's all on that page. And all you have to do is just go to royallegalsolutions.com, get a click the get a price at the top of the page and fill out that quiz. And that gets you connected up with the team to be able to get, you know, our free ebook on LandTrust, as well as to be able to look at some of those additional resources if you're looking for a more comprehensive strategy in terms of asset protection. But yeah, I think we actually will be able to give you, Bill, the ebook on the LandTrust to hopefully send out to all the audience members and link it maybe in the show notes.
Oh, awesome. That'd be great. Be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Scott, man, this has been great. Really, really good stuff here. And of course, we're going to have you back and we can talk about some of these other strategies you talked about as well. So your website's the best way for folks to reach you, right?
Yeah, I'd say everybody right now is just go to royallegalsolutions.com, you know, click the get a price at the top of the page and fill out that quiz. Because whether we actually end up doing business or not, the moment you can make connection with my team, they'll be able to start giving you all of the free ebooks that we have. I think we have over 11 books. They're all over 100 pages. It's all of our best content. And all you have to do is just go to royallegalsolutions.com, click get a price at the top of the page, connect with the staff, and then they're going to just start being able to give you just overwhelming amounts of, you know, video recommendations, book recommendations, et cetera, that are all free things that I've developed to help educate everybody on asset protection and what are the best strategies that I see for real estate investors that are looking to scale.
I love it. I love it. That's great. Well, Scott, you know, we have a tradition here on the Old Dogs REI Network, and you had a pretty good old howl. I remember that last time you were on. So if you're ready, you're ready to close us out with a good old hound dog howl?
Oh!
All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note, everything Scott talked about today will be outlined in detail in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode with Scott Smith and the episode about LandTrust. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.